Good morning. Happy Father's Day.
There's a tradition in Zen practice, which is sort of unique to Zen practice, which goes back centuries and centuries, and it's called Daisan. Another word that we use is Dakusan. What it is it's a private face-to-face meeting with a teacher, and it's used as an intensive training tool. And originally it was largely didactic. In China and later in Japan, though, it evolved from a didactic instruction to really an exploration of the student's direct experience of their practice. It became an opportunity to discuss zazen, to work with koans, or to simply sit in silence with the teacher. And a teacher in the White Plum lineage, who is now deceased, named John Daidaluri, describes this relationship as follows. He says, "In the beginning, the teacher-student relationship is very much like a parent and child. The student is in completely new territory. They are unsure and need fundamental instruction. And it's the job of the teacher to offer that instruction, much as a parent would to a child. After a while, the relationship changes, and the teacher becomes more like a guide, responding appropriately to the student, helping to unstick their sticking points. And then the time comes when the teacher turns into a spiritual friend, studying the way together with the student. And then finally, at the time of transmission, the student and teacher recognize each other as equals." And in Zen, transmission is the point in the student-teacher relationship where the teacher identifies a particular student as ready to become a teacher themselves. And there's this whole process and final ceremony called Dharma transmission. But at that point, the teacher and student are spiritual equals in terms of their progress on the path. Intrinsically, we're of course always equals. This is just talking about the development of the practice of Zen. So the parent becomes the child, and the child becomes the parent. The teacher becomes the student, and the student becomes the teacher. And at this point, the dependence on having a teacher ends, and the Dharma is transmitted to the next generation, to the next teacher. I would add one thing to this, which is my experience, particularly as a new teacher, only having been a teacher for a year and a half, that every time I do Daisan, not only am I offering myself as a teacher, but Daisan is an opportunity to be taught by the student how to become a better teacher, how to work with students in this unique way. There's another way of describing the student-teacher relationship. And that is the teacher relationship, of a chick pecking from inside of an egg and the hen pecking from outside the egg. The teacher and student working together so that the student may break through the shell of delusion and come to self-realization. Regarding the actual practice of Daisan, the parties should always maintain clear boundaries and a respectful confidentiality, which is vital to creating a close student-teacher relationship. Now, for those of you that are not familiar with it, Daisan takes place in a separate meeting place, a separate room, and it's just two people, face-to-face. So it's important for both to have clear boundaries about pertaining to that relationship, and also a deep respect for the confidentiality of that encounter. And that encounter may be brief or it can last a while, but the length of time is not an indication of the quality of the encounter. In fact, a true meeting between student and teacher never has anything to do with being a success or a failure. In true Daisan, there is no such thing. The real spirit of the encounter is to surrender to the unknown while being fully present to the moment as it unfolds. So how does this practice of Daisan, this face-to-face meeting with the teacher, fit into the overall practice of Zen? In our lineage, the White Plum lineage, students are required to enter or pass through several gates or stages. And the first gate is when the student makes the decision to start practice and actually goes to a zendo to begin that practice. This is a step into the unknown and can require a fair amount of courage. And I would add that true growth, true breakthroughs happen in the place of not knowing, in that place of unknown. So trust yourself. Trust being in a place of not knowing. The second stage, or gate, is receiving instruction in Zazen and the protocol of the Zendo. Bowing, chanting, silence, a whole host of things that we do to create a space that supports the practice of Zazen. The third gate is beginning a daily practice, not only at the Zendo, but at home as well. The fourth gate is making a financial commitment within the student's means to support the practice. The word for this financial support is called dana, D-A-N-A, and it means giving. And the fifth and final gate, and the most profound one in this lineage, is the student-teacher relationship. And that relationship is one that is cultivated in Daisan. And as I said before, is unique to Zen and is considered one of the most important parts of our practice. Many Zen centers in the West make a point to note that Daisan should not be seen as a substitute for psychotherapy. And that's because insight or enlightenment does not heal all of our psychological or social difficulties. To be a complete and fully integrated human being, we must do both our psychological and our spiritual work. And as a teacher who is also a psychotherapist, I can see that it's not always easy to differentiate between what is spiritual and what is psychological, as frequently the two are interrelated. Sometimes feelings, thoughts, and psychological issues come up during meditation. Sometimes life events throw us for a loop. Sometimes we just need another human being to bear witness to our suffering. And sometimes in meditation, we discover parts of ourselves like fear, skepticism, anger, vulnerability, doubt, shame, etc., that keep us from going deeper or keep us from surrendering into the unknown that's required by Zen practice. On a personal note, I've mentioned this before in talks. Many years ago, I hit a wall in my practice with my teacher, and it had to do with vulnerability. In order to go deeper into this practice, we must really surrender everything that we think we know, everything that we hold on to. And to do that really requires vulnerability. And the problem was, because of the family of origin that I was raised in, I had created walls to prevent myself from being vulnerable because it was too dangerous to be vulnerable. So in order to proceed in my practice of Zen, I really needed to go and do my psychological work to heal that. And when I did that, it opened up a whole new level of spiritual practice. So that's an example of how these two things go together. So I believe, personally, that it's the teacher's responsibility to help the student clarify which issues can be worked on in Daisan and which need to be dealt with in psychotherapy, and how they can be worked on together, both, from both sides of the fence. So as a result of that, many times a student will end up doing work, both times simultaneously. So to conclude this point, the relationship cultivated in Daisan should be based on trust and mutual respect. Like any relationship, it will deepen over time. The student-teacher relationship should encourage confidence, freedom, and independence in the student. Never should the students surrender their own judgment to the authority of the teacher. Let me say that again because I think it's extremely important. Never should the students surrender their own judgment to the authority of a teacher. And finally, Daisan is always a voluntary process. Now, the basic process here at Clear Mountain is as follows. If a person is interested in Daisan, they should sign up for Daisan on the sheet which is placed on the cabinet outside between the closet and the bathroom door. And Daisan begins when the teacher leaves to go to the Daisan area, usually following the Dharma talk, which is what I'm giving now. And those who have signed up on the sheet should go in the order that they have signed up. And to get to the Daisan room, you would leave the Zendo, make a right, and then make another right. And there's an alleyway that goes up to an interior design studio, which is worth the walk in itself. It's a beautiful place. Mm-hmm. And that's where we have Daisan. And I, or whatever teacher is here, will greet the student at the doorway. And then we'll walk together to where we sit and do Daisan. Now, for people that need chairs, there are also chairs available. You don't have to sit on the floor. And usually, the way that I was trained and the way that we do it in this lineage, and if you forget, it's okay. But especially if you're new to Daisan, it's helpful to let me know what your practice is. If you have a practice from another teacher and you're doing koan work, let me know that. If you're new and you're just counting your breaths, let me know that. So I have an idea of what your daily practice is. And so the opportunity then when we sit together is if there are any questions about the practice, if you're interested in any area of the practice or anything at all, there's no right or wrong. That's the opportunity to bring it up, and we can talk about it and hopefully clarify whatever the issues are. Now, sometimes, they say that timing is everything. Sometimes after you've been doing Daisan for a while, there may be a point where in our conversation that's very ripe. And so sometimes it's the response is not necessarily words, which we're used to. Could simply be, which sometimes is a device to just be in the present moment. Stop thinking. Just be with that sound. Just be present. And the Daisan may even end that way. But don't take it as an insult. Mm-hmm. Zen is very different. The practice of Zen and Daisan in particular is very different than ordinarily dialogue. You know, if you went to see a therapist and in the middle of therapy, the therapist went that like that and said, get out. I mean, you know, the first thing you'd be concerned about is how much you're supposed to pay. But so Daisan is free, but it can work differently. But any of these kinds of things, the ringing of a bell, the clapping of hands, or just the bow and having it be end, is really done as a way to serve or a way to respond in a different way to whatever questions or discussion comes up. So don't be put off by that. The other thing is sometimes people will come late. We have four periods and not even really sit, but sign up for Daisan. And so we've been talking about that. And so the practice should be that you should sit at least one full period before Daisan. And again, you know, we run a pretty open-hearted, open place here. If you have any questions and you want to ask those questions informally, you can certainly come and ask me. You can ask Jeff. You can ask Bill. So that's a brief review of Daisan. So thank you for listening.